חנוכה שמח, today's daf in Masechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is a daf at Tzadid Beit, and we're holding at the beginning of the wonderful new perek, Dam Chatas, and just in honor of Hanukkah, Richie's going to do a makeup job on his functor under a helik perek, so that we can have a little bit of extra simcha today for Hanukkah. Come on, Rich, give it to us, man.
Aye. Functor the helik perek. Sorry, in the morning. What can I tell you? Didn't sleep well last night.
Yeah, I don't believe you. So before we begin, let's take a look at the Pasuk in Tzav, which actually, it, more than a Pasuk, it's the entire new Chelek of Zot Torah Techatat that teaches us a lot of new dinim. What it says over there is like this. Vayedaber Adonai Moshe Lemor, Daber al Aaron v'al banav lemor zot Torat ha-chatat b'mkom asher tishachet ha-ola tishachet ha-chatat lifnei Adonai kodesh kodashim hi. These psukim we already have been derish, and we've thought about a lot of different dinim that we learned back in the beginning of the Masechet. Now we have the din of achila, which we were talking about just recently. Hakohen amachateo tayochlena b'makom kadosh teachel b'chatzar ohel moed. And now we've got a new halacha, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Kol asher yiga b'vsarah yigdash v'asher yizeh midama al beged asher yizeh alah tichabes b'makom kadosh. There's a brand new halacha that we didn't see before. The concept of kol asher yiga b'vsara yigdash, which means that there's a din of things that have absorbed the tam of a chatas, that they have the dinim of a chatas. That's part of the general halachas of taroites. But here's a brand new halacha. V'asher yizeh midamala beged, asher yizeh alea techabes b'makom kadosh. Wow. So if any of the dam of a chatas gets onto a beged, then that beged has to be washed out in a makom kadosh. And it notes over here, asher yizeh. Yizeh has certain very specialized meanings. So, I mean, if we were talking about regular things, we would think asher yizeh means it got splattered, you know? But then it stresses again, ala beged asher yizeh ala, again. That's very suspicious, especially when you realize that there is some chataot that they have a din of yizeh, but there's other chataot where there is no din of yizeh. Yizeh usually means to be zoreik, to throw from afar, hazaah. But actually, a normal chatas is not thrown from afar. A normal chatas is put on by the kohen's finger directly. Usually we would use the word yichaten, but then stressing yizeh, I mean, yes, there is hazah of chatas ha'of is actually yizeh, but it's yizeh directly from the neck of the bird. And what about a chata pnimit? Well, besides the regular din of chatas, which is done on the mizbeach ha-pnimi, on the corners over there of the kranot, just like on the mizbeach ha-chitzon, there are those special korbanos, the chataot ha-pnimiot, which require hazara, not on the mizbeach necessarily, but on the parochet, on Yom Kippur. It would even be between the Badei Aharon, Klapi the Kaporet. And then you would have, you know, towards the middle, the Tiarosha Mizbeach. So are we referring to all Chataot? Are we referring to only the Chataot HaPnimiot? Are we referring to Chataot HaOf? That is all immediately suggested. We have to figure out based on the word Asher Yizeh. And then we have another brand new halacha. The Kli Echeres Asher Tevushalba Yishaver. If you cook a chatas in a Kli Echeres, then you have to break the Kli Echeres. And Reb Barnea would be happy were he here to tell us all about the Kli Echeres that are all around Mishkan Shilei that have been found, tons and tons of broken Kli Echeres in the kiyum of this mitzvah. And if it's a Kli Nechoshet, if it's a metal type of Kli, then there's a special din called Mirika Ushtifa, which we'll learn the halachas about as we go along. Umurak v'shutaf b'mayim. Not clear what murak usually means to utilize like something hot. Purging is what we would usually mean by marika, and shatifa would usually mean rinsing. We're going to see it's machlokas in the Gemara, the specific dinim that are added by marika on the one hand and shatifa on the other. And so, just to round it off, and I'm bringing the next pasuk as well because it's going to be important in understanding what the pasuk was referring to. Kol zachar b'kohanim yochalota kodesh kodashim hi. Now, the reason I say that's important is because if it were referring to the chataot pnimiot, then it would be very strange to say kol zachar b'kohanim yochalota, because that's simply not the case. All of the chataot pnimiot are not yochalota. In fact, they are burned, remember, michutz l'machaneh. So the pasuk seems to contain contradictions, and we'll have to see how to understand it clearly in the Gemara. But the Mishnah tells us just first this special halacha: a dam of a chatas that got splattered on a beged of some kind has to be washed out, and as it says in the pasuk, in a makom kodesh. And this is true despite the fact that afal pi she'eina katuv medaber ela b'nei echalot, that last pasuk that we read, which is about the Kohanim eating it, seems to refer back to what we were talking about by the splattering. Kol zachar b'kohanim yochalotah kodesh kodashim. But the truth is, even though it says she'nemar b'makom kadosh te'achel, that doesn't mean it's limited to the dinim of chataot that are actually eaten. In fact, it would be true of echad ha-ne'echalot ve'echad ha-pnimiyot, which are not ne'echalot, so the chataot that are brought to pnim, are also to unim kibbutz. How do I know that? Shenema torat ha-chatat. And remember, whenever we use the word Torah, it's marbe, to teach me Torah achat ve'kol ha-chataot. All chataot are included. We'll have to see how far we mean when we say all chataot. Does that include chatataof as well? All to be discussed. And here it's mashma, everything. There's not a single chatat that wouldn't be included. What about if it was a chatat that was posel? Ah, then if it's a chatat psula, it does not require kibbutz. And I don't care whether it's a chatat that had a moment of sha'at ha-kosher. So let's say it was perfectly okay, the dam, and then the dam became tameh. Or then the dam was yotze. But it had been kosher initially. It's not as if it spilled out of the neck of the korban before the kohen had a chance to be mekabel. It's not as if there was a machsheves pigel that had passed it in the Shechita and it was never kosher. Makes no difference whether there was a time when it was kosher for a bit, or ben shaloita la shata kosher even for a moment. And I'll give you some examples. Ezoi shaita la shata kosher. When we say it had a time during which it was kosher, what do I mean? Well, I'll give you some examples. I mean, look, let's say it was lana. The dam was perfectly kosher, and then you kept it in the nighttime, and it was too late to do the Zrikas Adam, or maybe it became Tomei, or maybe it was Yotze. Ve'ezri shalo, ha'ita la sha'ata kosher, Maybe it had shchita with the machsheves chutz l'zman of pigo, or chutz l'nekoma, or maybe a zar, a posel, was mekabel adam. So all of that would have actually made this dam no longer suitable and therefore not able to be mechayev you with the mitzvah of the kol chatat. This is not included in the chataot, even though it says zot torata chatat, that requires kibbutz b'makom kadosh. Okay, so we said dam chatat shenitaz. Now, I don't get it. If you're saying shenitaz, that there's Torah chat l'kol ha-chataot, I mean, that sounds to me that kol ha-chataot includes even chatat ha'of. That's what you said. Yeah, I did. Oh, yeah? Well, then Alama Tanya, so tell me how you explain the fact that the Braita says it's not true. The Braita says, yachol te'edam chatat ha'of ton kibbutz. You might think that even the chatas of an oaf has to be washed if it gets on a beged tamalomar zot torat hachatat. And zot is, of course, a miut, this and not something else. And the torat hachatat, on the other hand, seem to include everything. Omer esh lakish mishum bar kapara. Well, you're forgetting something very important in that discussion that we just had. Daber al Aharon ve'al banav lemor, zot torat hachatat. You took for granted that it went in one ear and out the other because you're so used to hearing it. Bimkom asher tishachet ha'olah, tishachet hachatat. Excuse me? A bird is not tishachet at all. So if you're telling me, introducing this whole idea of a beged asher yizel, that sure can't be talking about a bird. Because it says that we're talking about chataot hanishchatot, b'katuv ha'katuv medaber b'nishchatot, not about melika. Well, I mean, couldn't we say, therefore, that the pasuk is only talking about chataot that need to be eaten, and that would not include the chataot ha'pnimiot? Remember what it says. It says, Bimakom kadosh teachel, which would mean that chataot pnimiot are not included. So now I'm confused. You're going to exclude the oaf. Why? Well, because, I mean, it's mentioned the fact that there's shchita. So then exclude also the chataot pnimiot. Why? It mentioned the fact that it needs to be eaten. I mean, it's not as if it says it beferish, it's the same mention. If you're saying that all of the dinim that appear here in this entire piece reflect on one another, in which case, if it's not tishachet, it's not included. So if it's not te'achel b'makom kadosh, it's also not included. What's the difference? Ooh, I told you what the difference is. It says zot torat, and torat is a very broad inclusion. So then I understand. So then that's true about the chataot ha'ofos. So we're running around in circles here. Yeah, but the Torah said zot. Thank you very much. I'm aware of that. So now Mara'ita, what's this arbitrarily deciding that we're going to include the pnimiot, but we're not going to include, you got something against birds maybe. I mean, what's the problem over here, not including the birds, but yes, including the pnimiot? Well, it makes sense. If on the one hand the Torah is saying that we should be very inclusive, and on the other hand the Torah is saying, but we have to also exclude, what do you think is more reasonable? I mean, it's much more reasonable to include the chataot of the pnimiot, which is a behema, because look how many ways it's similar to the chataot achitzonot. It too is a behema. It requires shchita. It requires shchita betzofen. It requires kabbalas kli, which the bird does not have. The bird does not have shchita betzofen. It's the malika, and it's malika on the mizbeach. And there's no kabbalah whatsoever. And there's no din of putting it on the keren hamizbeach, which there is. If it's a chatas apnimis, it still needs the keren on the mizbeach apnimi. And there's no din of a bird of using your finger to put the dam on. It here needs your etzba, and you have to go to the edge of the keren, which is a special din of chuda. And I mean, the most important thing, I mean, is it's put on the mizbeach, you know, and the chatas ha'of is not put on the mizbeach. There's nothing put on the mizbeach. No, doesn't go near the fire of the mizbeach, so doesn't it obviously match up the chataot ha'pnimi with the chataot ha'chitzonot? Well, I mean, I could argue that it's similar in certain ways more to the birds, because adarabah, chatas ha'of havilei. I mean, first of all, it's chutz, and we've had all these special dinim about pnim, but the bird is also brought b'chutz, and it's eaten, which is achila kimota, masha'in kein, the chataot ha'pnimiot are not eaten. Okay, but you know how to add? Add up which ways it's more similar. How many ways do you love me? So that would mean that we've got far more ways in looking at how the chataot pnimiyot are things that are similar to the chataot chitzoniyot than we have in how many ways the chatas is similar to the chitzoniyot. So that's hanach nefishim. Look, it's just a matter of more ways. So if you're going to try to figure out, so what's the most reasonable thing to say the Torah included, and what's the most reasonable thing to say the Torah excluded, it's much more reasonable to say we include in the din of kivus begadim the chataot pnimiyot, which are similar in so many ways to the chataot chitzoniyot, and that we excluded the chataot ha'ov, which is similar only in very limited ways to the normal chatas behema. Rabbi Yosef Omer, no, there's another reason for this, because in the pasuk it said specifically the word HaKohen HaMechateh Otah Yochalena. What is the Yochalena? Yochalena, to add that we would eat it specifically. It, as opposed to what? So that idea is that even among the Ne'echalot, what are the Ne'echalot? The Chataot HaKitzoniyot and the Ofot, right? The Chataot HaOf. And nonetheless, the pasuk says, and I'm not talking about all of the different karbonos that you eat. I'm talking about one of them, Yochalena. So that is the Talmid Lezov, v'lo la'acharet. In which case, if we're already being memayet, then we're going to be memayet the ones that are ne'echalot. We don't need Yochalena to be memayet the chataat ha'pnimit, which is not eaten at all. So Yochlena means among the two types of karbonos that are eaten, the chataot chitzoniyot and the chataot of, I am telling you that only one of them is being discussed here, and therefore we're talking about the chatas behema. Wait, so in other words, according to Rabbi Yosef, we actually are not learning out from the word zot to be mamayit. We're learning it out from Yochlena. Didn't we see before that zot comes to be mamayit, like how Rabbi Yosef is throwing out the Tanaim here? I mean, the main way that we were learning from this pasuk was that it was miut with the zot and a ribui with the Torah. And now comes along Rabbi Yosef, and he's got his whole new idea of just learning the miut from the Yochlena. So then why do I need a zot according to him? No, because look, the only reason Yochlena is so important to us is because we know that we're supposed to be mamayit. If we didn't know we were supposed to be mamayit, and we would just have zot Torah tachatat, so we'd include everything. The word Yochlena is not enough on its own. It only works when you know that you're looking for something to exclude. And now you're thinking, so what should I exclude? So then the Yochlena sticks out like a sore thumb. But if you're not looking for something to exclude, Yochlena is just a typical way of describing the Achila. So if it wouldn't have been for Zot Hava Mina Yochlena, that's just the derech of the pasuk to speak like that. It's Urche Dekra, Kamashma, now that it says Zot, and now you're coming to decide which is the Zot. Then Yochlena is very meaningful. Rabba Omer, Rabba says, I have a completely different approach as to why the Zot could not be referring to the Chataot Apnimiot. It's because Asher Yizeh. It's because of that word, Asher Yizeh Midam HaChatat. And that means we are talking about the types of Chataot that are actually brought through Hazaah. What's brought through Hazaah? The Chataot Apnimiot, which means the main idea of the pasuk is that it's talking about the chataot apnimiot. The Zot Torah is marbe even the chataot achitzoniot, which are brought by the Kohen being mechate is the word. So by running his finger along the keren. But that's not the main topic here. The main topic is hanizaot, which are the chataot apnimiot. How could you say that? The Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah said, "Vatznan, af al pi she'ein ha'katuv medaber ela b'nei chalot." What are you talking about? And the Mishnah says the main point of the pasuk is that it's referring to chataot ha'nei chalot because it says that the Kohen is supposed to eat them b'mokom kadosh. And you're telling me no. The main point of the pasuk is it's talking about the pnimiot. No. Wait a minute here. Rabbah says there are two different topics, and you're getting confused. The first topic was the dam of the chatat asher yizeh, right? Al habegen. So then we have this din of yechabez b'makom kadosh. Then we went on to tell me this whole new halacha, which is the din that if you've got any of the dam, well, you know, any of the things that had been cooked, that was kli cheres asher tevushalba or kli nechoshet, that the din is, well, then we have this new halacha marika b'shtifa. Then it says, HaKohen Yochlena. So now, which one is the Kohen Yochlena referring to? It was referring to the din of marika b'shtifa. That's true when it comes to marika b'shtifa, indeed. We were fundamentally discussing the chataot achitzoniot. Masha enkein le'inyan kibbutz, which was the first part of the pasuk, we didn't talk about eating. Over there it says asher yizeh. And that means that the main topic of the pasuk is those chataot asher yizeh, dafka the ones that are pnimiot, that are put on through hazah, either on the towards the kaporet, and the tiarosh hamizbeach, and there's no such thing at all in a chatas apni achitzana. So, if that's true, according to you, the main topic of the Mishnah is the pnimiyot. So how do you explain the fact that when the Mishnah wants to add what's included, instead of saying, whether it's the pnimit, as Rabbi has pointed out, is the main topic, and even if it was a chitzona, meaning it was a nechelet. That's what it should say, but instead it says, whether it's a nechelet, which is a given, and even if it's a pnimit, which is not a given, which is the opposite of what you're saying. What it should have said is, echad pnimit ve'echad nechelot miboyle. Okay. You know, says Rabbah, so read that in the Mishnah, correct the Mishnah, because usually when the Mishnah is going over, people don't even realize that that's significant, the order, so say it in the other order if you like. Okay, well, I got another problem. Rabbah, I mean, according to you, if you're talking about the Chataot, that Asher Yizeh, so then it should be including the Chatat Ha'of also. Because it uses the lashon of yizeh nechatas ha'of, v'hizah midam achatat akira mizbeach. It's true that the olatz ha'of is actually mitzui, but when it came to nechatas ha'of, the Torah dafka did use the word v'hizah. So why not include nechatas ha'of? And yet we saw before the Braita said, as opposed to nechatas ha'of, you know the answer to that. The answer is zot. Oh, well, if the answer is zot, to be mamayit, even a yizet type of chatas, so then it should also exclude the chatat hachitzona, which also said zot. Yes, of course it would, but the Torah said zot torat hachatat, which came to include even the chataot hachitzonot. Oh, so again, we're talking arbitrary determination. We have, on the one hand, we have the zot, which is barban, on the other hand, which is b'mayit, and on the other hand, we have the zot torat, which is marba. And you've decided, okay, let's be marba the chitzoniot, which are not yized, and let's be mamayet the oaf, which is yized. Now, what? Why? Well, again, because it's only reasonable. Bistavra, the chatas behema, is more likely to be included with the chataota pnimiot, even though they're chitzoniot. Why? Because, first of all, it's a behema. Secondly, like the chatat pnimit, it requires shechita b'tzofein. Like the chatat pnimit, it requires kabbalah b'kli. Like the chatat pnimi, it requires keren if you're talking about the mizbeach pnimi or the mizbeach chitzon. And like the chatat pnimit, when it's being put on the keren, it does require etzba, and it does require the chud hashel keren, and also, as opposed to the chatas ha'of, it's put on the esh ha-mizbeach. So it's got all these ways where it's similar to the chatat ha-pnimit. Well, I could say adarabba. It makes more sense to use the zot torat to be marbe the chatas ha'of, because, I mean, the chatas ha'of is hazoya. That wasn't that the main point, is that you were saying that it's asher yizeh, and the only way in which the chatas hachitzona would be included, which has no hazoya, was because of the zot torat. So it makes more sense to say the zot torat is marbe asher yizeh type. True, very true, but nonetheless, if you take a look at all of the different ways that the chataot hachitzoniot are similar to the chataot hapnimiot, and the only way in which the oaf is similar, it certainly seems more likely that the Torah is being marbe the chataot hachitzoniot. So it's actually, according to Rabbah, the whole drasha is in the inverse, right? It's the first way we were learning before we understood the diuk of Asher Yizeh, Rabbah's diuk. We thought that the ikar discussion was on the ne'echalot because the kohen yochalota, the makom kadosh, and so on. And then we realized, according to Rabbah, we have to do the whole drasha in the inverse because the main topic, according to him, was the Asher Yizeh. And the discussion about the achila was focused only on the din of marika v'shtifa. So we have very different ways of understanding the pasuk and actually parsing the pasuk. Because I mean, the way we understood the achila, we take a look at all of the inyanim of the pasuk as being relevant to each other, including the closing psukim about the achila of the kohen, and there in both of the inyanim, then it would be nogea. Both Marika v'shtifa and the halacha v'adam asher yizeh. Now, Shenkin, the way Rabbah was learning, we have two separate stories here. We first have a zot torat that's referring to the dinim of Marika of kibbutz begadim, and that is never mentions anything over there about a kohen eating. That's the first part, and the first part only talks about asher yizeh and makes focus on that twice. And then we have the second part, which introduces the idea of Marika v'shtifa and Shviras Klicheras, and that is Davka, the Kohen Yochlena. Boy, Rabbi Avi, so let me ask you something. What would be the din? We talked about another special din of the Chatas, which is also introduced here a little bit later. So we've got really three different very important halachas that are described here in Tzav in terms of the chataot. So one of the dinim was the concept of Kivus Begadim. The second one was Marika Vishtifa / Shviras Klicheres. The third one, you will recall, we talked about earlier, which is V'chol Chatata Sheyuva Midama El Ohel Moed L'Chaper BaKodesh Lo Te'achel Ba'esh Tisarev. And we discussed that at great length earlier, whether it would even the Kavana to bring it in for Kapor, even if you weren't Mechaper, that it required that Yadavka were Mechaper, and all the different halachas we discussed before. But we never discussed the question about what is the din of a chatas ha'ov. Now that I see in the context of the din of Marika B'Shtifa and Kibbutz Begadim that we need to recognize that the Zot Torah is both a riboy and a miyud, how does that affect the din of the dam that was nichnas lifnim or lifnai v'lifnim? Because suppose a bird, I mean, we never do any kind of Kabbalah Saddam, right? So if a bird, the dam was brought into the Hecha while it's still in the Tzavar, is that included in the general din of Kol Chatat Asher Yuva Midama, where over there the dam is put into a kos? Would this also, would we see the neck as being the equivalent of a kos? Because, I mean, certainly, a behemo, we said, if it's brought in, it doesn't become possible if there was no Kabbalah Saddam. So is the tzavar of the bird that's holding all of that blood, is that sort of like a kli, and we would view it as equivalent to being maknis the dam in a kli? O dilma, maybe it would be the same as a tzavar of a behemah, and we know that the Torah Bedafka said if you bring an animal into the Hecha with its blood when you never were mekabel that dam, it's not going to be possible because it says asher huva midama velo mibesara. So if it's still in the neck, it's basically just like bringing the animal in without bringing in the dam. Is that true about a bird? Or since the bird is meant to be applied to the Mizbeach directly from the neck, we can't darshan that this is not the dam, it is the dam. Well, let's take a look at a braita that seems to teach us what the din would be here. Pirchisa v'nichnasa lifnim v'chazra. So here it's talking about you did malika to a bird, and as often happens with birds, as I'm sure you're aware of, they start convulsing, and they'll jump around, and they'll even fly around, even with their neck hanging loose, muscular contractions. And that's what this bird did. It was mefarcheset and flew directly into the heichal. Whoa. And then it flew out of the heichal. So, and now the question is, what is the status of the dam in that bird, and can I actually bring it on the Mizbeach? So it says in the Braita, it's kosher. Now, what does that imply? That it's only because the bird flew in. But if I had brought it in, I mean, you're telling me it's a special halacha of Pirchasa, but if it was brought in, Mashal would have been possible in the equivalent case. Ha'hichnisa, psula. You see that indeed the dam is considered to be in a kos, even though I didn't do Kabbalah. Well, I mean, let me ask you something. If you think that the diuk over here is that the whole halacha is applicable only because it went in on its own and it was pirchasa, but if it hadn't been pirchasa, the din wouldn't have applied. So then take a look at the next din in that same braita. And over there, it talks about pirchasa, about, remember this, we discussed this before, is there a din of sort of yotze type of halacha that something that was supposed to be shechted in the tzofein went into the doreim? And we understood earlier, there's no such concept. Yotze does not apply to a yotze from Tzofon to Doron. Yotze only applies if you're yotze chutz l'mechitzas, right? All right, so now take a look in that braita, and you'll see that you got a problem if you think that it's only because of Pirchasa, because the same braita said about Kotche Kotchim, where the Shechita is B'Tzafein. So it says over there that if the animal was Pirchasa, and it actually just through muscular contractions that were really, really simple spasms, it was pirchasa v'yatzel v'chozra, it would be kosher, right? Now, you're going to tell me, yes, only because it was pirchasa. Is that what you're going to tell me? But you know darn well that that's no true. There is no din of yotze if something, even if I took it from the tzafen to the daran. So by the same token of being Doresh Pirchasa in the case of the oaf that went into the Heichal, you would have to come to the same conclusion in the case of an animal that was Mefarkes Bitzaf in the Dorum, and you'd have to claim, well, you see from this Braita, that if a person had moved it into the Dorum and brought it back to the Tzafen, it would be possible Yotze. But that is not true. Ella, hi, therefore. So what are you going to say? Oh, it's the Psula? Of course not. Ella. So why did it use that lashon? It only used that lashon because of the final case, which is that in the event that the bird or the animal was mefarches and was yotze chutz la'azara, that it would be pasul. So in order to contrast it with that halacha, you shouldn't think that the din of yotze is dafka yotze where somebody took it out. And come to understand that the din of Yotze, as we've explained, is a halacha in treifus, and it's the fact that it's outside of its mechitza that's important, and not the having removed it from its mechitza that's important. So we were of necessity going to be talking about a case where it was mefarches and went straight out through the shaar outside of the azara. And then came back in. There would nonetheless, it would be possible Yotze permanently. So in order to contrast the dinim that we had earlier about the bird that was nichnas bifnim and the animal that was yotzei from tzafa and the doraim, to contrast it with the yetzia of from the azara, we said in all of the cases, if it was mefarches. But obviously you can't be medayik from here that if it wasn't mefarches and you actually brought it in yourself, that it would be different, because we know certainly one of the cases is not different. So very possibly in the case of the oaf, it's not any different. So hachinami, in the case of the oaf, the only reason that we said pirchasa was because of the contrast of yatzta l'chut tzrichale, but you cannot bring a raya from here. So we don't have any kind of raya from here about what the din would be of the oaf. So by Rabbi Avi, I got another question. Remember, if the dam is nishpach on from the animal's neck, you can't collect it and put it into a kli sharis, right? Because then it never had a time in which you were mekayim the din of Kabbalah. The thing is that when it comes to a bird, if it's in the neck, and you're saying the neck is equivalent to the Kabbalah, there is no other Kabbalah. So then what about if it's spilled out of the neck? Now, I mean, obviously I can't put the dam back into the body, but suppose it spills out of the neck and I gather it up, the same thing that I would have done if it spilled out of the kli. Remember, the din is that once you did Kabbalah on the behemah and the dam spills on the ground because you dropped the kli, there you can simply gather up the dam that's on the ritzpah, put it back in the cup. So over here by the bird, I can't put it back into the body, but I could put it into a cup. So now, is the din that the dam is in remains in the actual neck of the oaf? Is that a din that just says you don't need to do anything else? You don't need to put this dam into a kos, or is it that you mustn't put this dam into the kos? Is it a din that you absolutely have to sprinkle it directly from the neck? Or is it that you can sprinkle it directly from the neck, but if you did a Kabbalah, you'd be able to sprinkle it from the kli? That's what I'd like to know, says Rabbi Yovi. So is it just if nishpach al haritzpah, and then you gather it back together and you put it into a cup? Is it that atzruchehi deloit tzirche rachmana kli sharis? Is it just that the Torah said you can get away without doing a Kabbalah on an oath? And therefore, that doesn't mean there's anything wrong if you did do it, in which case, if I put it, gather it up into a kos, it's not going to become posel because it's in the kos. I'd still be able to be zorik it, and albeit not from the neck, but I'd be zorik it from the kos. O Dilma, mifsal posel berachmana kli sharis. Maybe the Torah is saying, no, you mustn't be mekabel that dam in the kos. And Hilkoch Osvo Posel. In that case, if you went ahead and you were Ma'asefin, then it would be Posel because it was Nifsal by being in a Klisharis. And therefore, as soon as it spills out of the Tzavar, there's nothing to do. Oh, my Rava, let's see if I can bring you a Raya from the Brayta that we were talking about before. Which said, Yochel ye dam chatata of ton kibbutz. Talmud Omar Zot. Now remember, we thought that, okay, we need to bring a raya that the dam chatata of is not included. And then we only have that raya because the Zos is mamayit, right? But if you're telling me that the moment that the blood of the chatata of, is taken out of the neck of the behemoth, it immediately becomes posel, because you're saying if it fell on the floor, that's it, it's over, there's nothing to do. So then, the moment that this blood spurts out of the neck of the bird, it's posel. And therefore, anyway, it's not going to be mechayev you in dam kibbutz. Because remember the Mishnah said, if it's pasul, if that dam is not kosher, then for sure it's not mechayev you and kibbutz beganim. So what would we need a pasuk to tell me that Zos is b'mayit the din of the dam of the ofot? The moment that that blood got onto the beged, buddy, it's pasul. It spurted, and then you're telling me it spurts, and now it hits the beged. What's the difference? It's not going to be Mechayev Kivus because it's no longer the Dam kosher. Typically, the Ifsilabavir Kli, the reason that it would be Posel is for the same reason that it becomes Posel that it, when it fell out into onto the ground over here, the Beged is like a Kli. Omer of Winneberger of Yeshua. No, I would still need the word v'zos Torah t'chatat in a case where, let's say, the beged of the kohen rubbed against the neck of the bird directly where he was going to be zorik from, and it got dirty, not because it splattered from the neck through the air onto the beged, but rather because the beged pushed itself in, and therefore it was never nifsal. So I need to know what the din is, and for that I need zot. So you cannot bring a raya to the halacha from there. We don't have a raya, therefore, to answer above him. But I mean, a Levi. Levi also asked Rebbe, if you have the nusach here that, on the side. How about if the dam of a chatas behema, regular, whatever we're talking about, the ikur thing in the pasuk, it was nitas on the beged, but then it splattered off the first beged, and some of it goes splattering onto another beged. So nitas mi beged le beged mahu. So what's the din over there? Does the second beged also require kibbutz? What is the din of that dam on the first beged? Do we say that mi beged kama, from the moment that it reached that first beged, The fact that the Torah said you have to go wash it seems to mean you can't use this dam for anything else. You can only wash it. So in other words, you wouldn't be able to gather together, let's say, if a lot of blood fell on a beged, you wouldn't be able to put it into a kohos and gather it from the beged the same way you could gather it up from the floor and put it into a kohos. So maybe that's the point. The moment that it lands on the beged, the first beged, it is now defined by the Torah as dam that requires kibbutz. And therefore it's itchilei lekibbutz. So that means we're doche it from the mizbeach to the din of kibbutz. And because of that, it would be completely nifsal at that moment. O Dilma, maybe we don't say that it is immediately nifsal. And if it's not immediately nifsal, just because you have to wash the beged, it doesn't mean that all of the dam is only miyuad for washing. Maybe if you can get the dam out, it's still going to be kosher for zrika. So if that's the case, even while it's on the beged rishon, it's kosher dam for hazoya. And therefore, if it then falls and splatters on another beged, it's going to be mechayev kibbutz for the second beged too. How do you deal with that question? Ooh, said Rebbe. Now that is a good question. Zo sheila. That is an excellent question. Which, of course, is very easy to say when you know the answer. I'm going to tell you the answer. Okay? Because my shita is that even this amazing question, I have a simple solution to it. I say the second beged, of course, needs kibbutz. And actually, it doesn't matter the way that you raised it, which, wow, that seems like really a real brisker chakira, it doesn't matter. It's not a chakira because it doesn't matter what you would hold. It is going to need kibbutz in the second beged any way that you hold, memonavsha. If the din is that you can still take this blood off of the beged and it would be kosher, okay, then there's nothing to discuss, right? Because then it's still kosher dam, and of course, if it hits the second beged, now it's splattered, kosher dam splattered on the second beged. Nothing to discuss. Okay. But now, what you were questioning, let's say the din is that even if you would gather it off of this beged and it would be pasul, I still say there would be no question that it would still make the chiyuv on the second beged. Why? Because I hold like Rabbi Akiva, and therefore your whole question is ridiculous. The Mishnah said that if it had Bein Shehayalad Shasa Kosher, Bein Shelo Hayalad Shasa Kosher, right? So, okay, there you're right. The question would be a valid question. I don't have the answer to the question if you're going according to Mishnah. However, I hold like Rabbi Akiva, who argues with the Tanakhama here, and Anak Rabbi Akiva svirali, and Rabbi Akiva says that if it did have a shata kosher, and only afterwards it was nifsua, the dam would still be ton kibbutz. In which case, who cares? Did it not have a shasa kosher immediately when you were mekabel it before it fell on the first beged? Yes. And Rabbi Akiva says if you had dam that was ever kosher, it's going to be Mechayev. So then this is also Chayev. Therefore, you ask the right person, and I'm giving you the answer. Your Chakira is essentially irrelevant because no matter what, it's going to be kosher. Kosher, and therefore it'll be Mechayev, the second beged, with kibbutz. Okay, Rabbosai, that was a beautiful Chanukah daf.